Y'all can be seated, and I'm going to do what Jesus did. If you read in the Bible, it says he sat down and taught the people. So, that's biblical. No, I'm still fighting that condition, but y'all just believe with me. Amen. It's one of my nerves, I guess, in my back is being aggravated somehow. And so it causes tremendous pain down my leg and then right here in this hip area. And it's really funny. I can go along for maybe a whole day, not any pain at all. And then all of a sudden, bam. And so that's what makes it so. And today I've been all right until I was walking into here and it hit. So just believe God with me. Amen. You know, I want to remind you of something today that you probably already know. Some people always want something new, but sometimes the answer that they need for the problem that they're facing or the situation or the circumstance that they're in is already found in something that they already know. They just need to remember it and begin to put it into action. You know, God has given us the Word of God, the power of God, the means to live above our circumstances and above our opposition and above our obstacles. And we can accomplish that which they say you can't accomplish. You know, we need to rise up to our full potential in God and receive everything. You know, when you're playing ball, and I played a lot of it, they say, man, he has a lot of potential. Well, potential never, it doesn't get you on the ball field. It doesn't get you playing in the game. Now, potential may get you on the team and may get you sitting on the sidelines, but if you don't work to fulfill your potential, you're never going to succeed. When I was running track in high school, the coach would let us go, and I would just stay out and run 5 or 6, sometimes 10 more 220s, because that's what I ran. I'd run a 220. Back then it was in yards. How many of y'all went to school when it was in yards? You know, this new bunch is in meters, and I don't know anything about meters, except we used to have them on the street when you parked. You had to put a money in it. How many remember that? But anyway, I would run a 220, and then I'd walk 220, and then I'd run a 220, and I'd walk a 220. And one of the guys said, hey, why do you do that? I said, well, number one, it will help me when I'm really facing the down the road, it'll help out. And I said, number two, the locker room's always full, everybody trying to get a shower and get dressed and so forth. I said, I wait till some of you guys get out of there, then I don't have that problem with everybody banging into one another. And that came out and when I was running in the state track meet in my leg of the 880 relay, and that extra practice that I put in paid dividend. You see, the more you read and study the Word of God, the greater you're going to have, the greater, I don't know what's the word I want here, the greater opportunity that you're going to have to defeat the enemy that's coming against you. It's not a mystery of how we as Christians are going to defeat the foe that comes against us. The answer is found in the Word of God. 1 John 5:4 says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Your faith is going to be the answer that brings the victory. Your faith. Somebody say it. My faith.
My faith
is the answer
that brings the victory.
Now, that was the New King James. The New Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Contemporary English Bible says, every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us the victory. And then the Message Bible, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. The person who wins over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. See, the kind of faith that we have is designed for us to live a victorious life. We've been told that. We've been told we're supposed to be triumphal. Apostle Paul said, I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. He didn't say part of the time, he said always. You know, our faith in God helps us to conquer the enemy that comes in to destroy our lives. Remember, the Bible says that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the thief, the enemy. But Jesus has come to give us life, and that more abundantly. Amen. See, we can accomplish living the victorious life by knowing what the Word of God says and believing what the Word of God says and acting like the Word of God is true. Today, it's very obvious that some Christians don't have a revelation of this, or they forgot it, or they're just not putting it into practice. If you're going to overcome the circumstances in life, you're going to have the Word of God coming out of your mouth. Amen. Not hoping, you got to be saying it.
Amen.
The Bible says that you would say to the mountain and believe in your heart that you'd have what you say. Anybody ever read that in there? You see, the battle to have the abundant life is through our faith in God, through our opening our mouth and speaking to the situation. Too often, many people have gotten born again, but they have not had the revelation of who they are in Christ, and so therefore, they're defeated. That's the most, and it's, I go to it all the time, the greatest thing, let me say it this way, the greatest thing that you can learn after salvation is who you are in Christ.
Amen.
It's because of who you are in Christ that it all flows together. You know, the redemptive realities is one of the subjects I teach at Raymond Bible College. And that's my favorite subject to teach because I get to preaching in there. John was in my class there, and Joe Bob, yeah. Joe Bob, he was in the class. I get to preaching in that class because it's an exciting thing to learn who you are in Christ and learn your authority. When Jesus died on the cross and went back to heaven, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And he gave that authority on earth to his church, Amen. The body of Christ. Right. If you read in the Bible all the time, it says the church, the body of Christ. We are the church, the ecclesia. Now I'm getting theological, but the ecclesia is the church. The ecclesia is made up of many different local church bodies all over the world.
Amen.
They are the body of Christ, or the church. And it talks about that. In fact, I'm getting on it a little bit. I just did a three-part series on the establishment of the church. And over there, maybe I can do it here for y'all. Anybody want to hear that? Okay, I'll see about bringing it over here and see. That's if I can ever get where I can be here three Sundays in a row. Excuse me. Y'all have to pardon me a little bit. I'm a little stopped up, but I've overcome it by the Word of God. Amen. You know, if you're going to rise up and win your battle over physical health, over finances, over depression, you name it. If you're going to rise up and defeat the enemy, you've got to do it by your faith in the Word of God. It don't happen just because you want it to. Are you, oh Lord, I just hope this works. Well, hope didn't get it. But faith will.
Yes, amen.
Faith will. Now, many of people are caught up in a battle of survival, and they don't know they have victory already in Christ. You know, I've heard people say it. I don't know whether they still do or not, but I haven't heard it in years. But in the church I grew up in, I heard people say, "Pray for me, the devil been after me. Pray that I'll make it through." Anybody ever heard that? Huh? Pray that I'll hold out to the end. You know, that, and you can tell when they're saying that, they got a whine in their voice and a slump in their shoulders. They're not in, and they don't realize that they've already won.
Right.
You know, too often the revelation of winning comes from getting in the Word and studying the Word and knowing what the Word says. Every time you face a situation, out of your mouth should come the Word of God. Not, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" You know, every time I face a situation, I start quoting the Word. In fact, when I pray over my food, I thank the Lord that no sickness, no disease shall come upon me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And in the world we live in today, you have to use the scripture in Timothy, "I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind." I did teaching here a while back on fear. Might do it over here sometime. And actually, if you'll study about fear, they tell you that a person that gets in fear does not have a sound mind. They make stupid decisions, if you'll pardon that expression. Okay, I've been in the military. I know Glenn's been in the military, and Greg's been in the military. Any of the rest of you been in the military? John, one of the things they teach you, okay, which one is that, Bill? And there's this Bill too. One of the things that they taught us in the very, very part, very, is don't panic. If you panic, you're going to get yourself killed. Keep a cool head. Is that not right? Yeah, that's what they teach you. And I don't know where Anthony is, but he was on that elevator a few weeks ago. We were in Waco, and 14 of our team that was out got on the elevator, and it goes pop, and it stops. And it was about 3 feet up. And we were about between floors. Well, some of them, I mean, we were packed in there. And some of them started getting, I said, "Lynette," I told everybody, "keep calm. Everybody, we're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right." I kept going over and over that. Because if somebody, if they yield into fear, that you freak out and do crazy things that you wouldn't normally do in your right mind. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. And when something comes against you, immediately out of your mouth comes the Word of God to speak against that.
Right.
You know, now you can't have the Word of God coming out your mouth if you hadn't put the Word of God in there. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." In other words, in your spirit. You know, that's when you get in a tight spot and the enemy's got your back against the wall, that's when you need to let the Holy Spirit rise up on the inside of you. You know, a lot of times people will come and they'll say, "Pastor, would you pray for me?" And I said, okay, I'll pray for you. And that's what you want to pray about. So you pray about it. And you quote the word, thank God for it. And you say, well, is it done? I sure hope so. Well, they're not agreeing. They wanted me to agree with them in prayer, but they're not agreeing. And it's not going to happen. They got. I can pray all day long for you, but if you don't agree with me and accept the word, it's not going to happen. It said, "If two agree,
that's right?"
Right? Yes. You know, you can tell when people have victory and when they don't have victory by the way they act, by the way they talk. You know, there's no victory in their voice, and they walk around, you know, with a defeated attitude. You ever seen people like that? Anybody ever seen anybody like that? You know, Christians shouldn't do that. You know, by the words you speak, it denotes who you are. You can speak words of victory, but listen to the tone of the voice. Words of victory spoken with a emphatic tone, like I did a while ago, are they can be spoken, well, I'm praising God. I'm really trusting. I'm believing in that tone of voice right there is not somebody that's really, they just saying words.
That's right.
If you really believe something, you say it with a positive attitude. You say it with like you really believe it.
Yes.
Come on now. Y'all with me? Y'all go home already. Well, I'll let you go home in just a minute. God has not designed his children to live a lifestyle of barely get along.
Amen.
Right down right next to Grumble Alley. Right around the corner from Gone Gone Street. God has designed us to live in victory. Not to stagger through life in the smog and fog and finally showing up a day late and a dollar short. God has designed us to live a life of victory.
Amen.
Over all the obstacles that come against us.
Amen.
We are designed to win.
Yes.
Our faith will bring us the overwhelming victory. You know, I lived with a man born in his house, grew up in his house, under his ministry. I heard him preach probably more. I know some of you have listened to his tapes and CDs and heard him in person, but I bet I would be willing to say that I've heard him preach more sermons than anybody in this room. And he always walked in victory. He always talked triumphantly. And if you would ask him, Brother Hagin, in first case some of you don't know Kenneth E. Hagin, they called him the modern day prophet of faith or father of faith. He hated that, but they called him that anyway. He said, all I'm doing is teaching what the Bible says. But if you go up to him and you said, what do you think about this? The first words out of his mouth is, what does the Bible say? That was his answer. I've heard him say it to thousands of people that would come up to him as I good all the way up from 5 years old on up. I was always by his side in the meetings and helped with book tables and I helped with everything. And people would come up to him and he'd say, what does the Bible say? And excuse me. It was so revealing how many people would say, oh. Actually, their real answer is in the Word of God, but they want somebody to tell them something different so they don't have to go and search it out. You know, when you go and search something out, you never forget it.
That's right.
Amen.
You can listen to me talk all day long, and tomorrow somebody said, you said, man, pastor preached a good sermon. Why did he preach? Well, but if you go into the Word and read yourself, it becomes a part of you. You know, faith brings victory. Faith makes you a conqueror. Faith causes you to triumph in every area. Y'all gonna have to monitor that mic back there, guys. You know, in the natural, people that believe they can overcome the obstacles and succeed. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
I know Kurt Warner personally. I've got one of his signed deals in my office. I've talked to him several times. He had went to a college, small college, and didn't make it in there. He went to one of the camps, but he didn't make it. He's working as a stock boy in a grocery store. And the St. Louis Rams called him to come and help them out because their quarterback had gotten hurt. He went in there and with an attitude, I can do this. Yeah. And he won the Super Bowl in 1999. Then he went on with the Cardinals and did the same thing. You know, that's just somebody in the natural that believes in their self and has faith in their self. Bill Bates played for the Dallas Cowboys. He played every year they said he was too small and too slow to make the team. He did. And he played linebacker for many years. But every year they said, well, he's too slow. He won't make it this year. But he did. Why? Because he believed in his talents. He believed in himself. Then let me pull that over into the spiritual. You see, in the spiritual, if you don't really believe what this Bible says, you'll never accomplish. But I mean, people come from, you know, they come from obscurity and become famous, you know, because they believed in their self. One of the greatest examples of somebody that believed in their self is one of our presidents is probably known as one of the most revered, and that's Abraham Lincoln. Go study Abraham Lincoln's life. He was defeated so many times that most people would have quit, but he didn't quit. He kept believing in himself until he became the president of the United States.
That's right.
Now, if people can do that in the natural, how much more should we be able, as children of God, with the Word of God, be able to overcome and persevere and come out victorious in the end?
Amen.
See, the reason that we can say that is because God, through Jesus Christ, has already defeated Satan.
Yes.
You know, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. The Barclay translation. Thanks be to God for he always gives us a place in as shares in the victory process of Christ. The Williams. He always leads me in his triumphal train through union with Christ. New Jerusalem Bible. Thanks be to God who makes us in Christ partners of his triumph. New Life Translation. We thank God for the power for the power Christ has given us. He leads us and makes us win in everything.
Yeah.
You see, it's because of Christ that we are winners. You know, it's in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, and I like to read this in the New Living Translation. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, I want to tell you something. It says here, Satan, who is the god of this world. See, some people don't understand that when Adam committed high treason in the Garden of Eden and sold out his authority in the earth, the devil took it. Now, I'm getting a little theological, but you need to understand this. Now, spiritually, we come back through our union with Jesus Christ, our salvation. We come back to get that authority in the spirit realm. One of these days, it'll come into fruition in the natural realm, because in Romans, it says the whole earth groans for that day. What's it talking about? What is groaning for the day that it will be back to the original like it was before Satan become the god of this world? Now, he is the god of this world, but Christ has defeated him, and everyone that comes in contact with the blood of the Jesus Christ through salvation, you have the victory already, because he has already won the victory. Well, I hear people say it as I was growing up, you know, dad preaching all them churches. Well, I'm just trying to get the victory. My dad was funny. He'd look at him and say, what are you trying to get the victory for when Christ's already done it? Oh, Brother Hagin, you know that. I mean, that's exactly what dad say. Well, you see, we have to believe what the Bible says, that he has already conquered Satan. And we walk in victory in what he has done, not in what we can do, what he has done. See, he has already defeated Satan. Now you say, how was that so? Well, you remember, he came to earth and lived for 33 years as a man anointed by God. If he was walking in his deity, he wouldn't have to be anointed. He was walking as a man. He was tempted by Satan in the temptation, and he did not give in to it. And then he died on the cross as the Son of God when he changed his roles and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took that cup. That's when he took the cup of sin and degradation, and he went to the cross. Now, you need to realize that the Hebrews think circularly. We think linearly. Where did sin enter the world? The Garden of Eden. Where was the price for sin accepted for redemption? Garden of Gethsemane. There's so many times, if you look, you see the circular in the Word of God. You can see it in many different places of how that happens. You know, that's an interesting fact, but if you'll study it, you'll find out it's a very true thing. The Hebrew think that way. Using your faith enables you to triumph in Christ. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we are what?
More than a conqueror.
What?
More than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror. New Living Translation. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. I like that one. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. The Common English Bible says, but in all these things we win a sweeping victory. For the ones who has loved us. Now, through the one who loved us. You know, they talk about in baseball, they sweep the series. You know, they go in and they play three games. And actually, they're having In fact, the Golden State Warriors are up 3-0, and they're going to probably sweep the series. Well, that's just in the natural. Hey, we win a sweeping victory. Not just a victory, a sweeping victory. An overwhelming victory. Why? Because of who Christ is and what Christ did for us. We learn to fight against the enemy with our faith, not with our ability. You know, you can fight with your fist. My cousin fought in years ago. He fought in the Golden Gloves down in Dallas. And so I would get around, box around with him a little bit, learned a few things. Actually, our uncle, my dad's oldest brother, Uncle Dub, he taught George Irvin and I that's how to defend ourselves. And he was something else. But, you know, you have to learn how to fight. You just don't step in that ring and wish you and think you're a fighter. You get your head knocked off. I mean, you got to learn how to get that, pull your neck down, get these shoulders here, so that if you get it hits in on the shoulder before it gets you on the side of the head. You know, you got to learn how to keep your elbows in, and your face. You know. You watch some of these guys, they're fighting like this, and they're getting that left jab right in their face because they got their hands down. You got to keep your hands up if you're fighting somebody. You got to learn how to do a little bobbing and weaving. Don't stand there like a statue in front of them. They'll beat the tar out of you. You got to move your head. You got to move your shoulders. You got to move your feet. I'll box a little bit. Just enough to know that I didn't want to do it for a long period of time. But I boxed enough to learn how to defend myself pretty good. You know, you can have a great punch, but if you don't have any defense, I don't care how good a punch you got, unless you're just lucky and hit him, you're going to get beat. You see, we have the power. We have the knockout power.
Amen.
The knockout punch. But if you don't know how to use it and step up and quote the word of God, it's not going to work all the time for you. You've got to be highly motivated to the fact that we fight the good fight of faith.
Yes, amen.
Laying hold on eternal life, which also called him and confessed in the presence of many witnesses. The fight of faith involves three basic things. Three basic things. Believing the word, saying the word, and doing the word. That's what it all comes down to, right there. Fight the good fight of faith. How do you do it? Believe what the Bible says. I mean, really believe it.
Yes.
See, if you really believe it, you act like it's so.
Yeah. Amen.
Say the word of God. And just like Saturday, I began to speak the word of God. And I didn't get any. I believed the word and I said the word and I acted the word. I believed that we were going. I told him, I said, we'll be all right. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine. See, when you really believe the word, no matter what's happening around you, no matter the circumstances, no matter what it is, you know, if it's finances or whatever it is, if you really believe the word, God will come through.
Amen.
I don't know whether y'all realize it or not, but Rhema is a big organization. We got a 200 employees over there, and 110 acres and buildings and so forth and so on. It takes quite a bit of operation stuff to keep that going. Yes. I'm not going to tell you how much because it'll blow your mind. But we keep believing God.
That's right.
We keep on going. We don't have any guarantee of how much the money comes in from the church, from here. We have no guarantee. From the ministry side, we got three entities. We got the Rhema Church, then we got the school, and then we got the Rhema, the Kenneth Hagin Ministries part, which is television and books and so forth and so on. To keep all that going, it takes some finances. It just don't happen.
Right.
We believe God. We confess it every day.
Amen.
And sometimes our back will be against the wall. And I don't panic, neither does she. She's the chief financial officer. She pays all the bills and everything else. And we just say, all right, Lord, we're standing in faith. We believe in you. You said it. We believe it. That settles it. And then something will happen, and it'll get our back off of the wall. You got to believe it. I don't care if you're down to your last penny. You got to keep believing it. Keep believing it. Keep believing it. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, say what Christ says. Constantly, constantly say what the Word says. Don't begin to give in to the natural. Oh, what am I going to do? No, know enough of the Word of God that whatever situation it is, you quote the Word of God in it.
Yes.
You stand in faith. It's a fight of faith. I'm fighting it right now, but I'm not giving in to it. I'm believing. I'm saying those nerves are going to come in line. That pain is going to go. And I keep on going. Some people would shut down and say, well, again, I get better. I keep on going.
Amen.
In the last crusade, Anthony will tell you, I'm doing the healing line. I'm doing two or three lines. And while they lining up people, I sat out on the platform because I was hurting bad. But I was hurting. It was hurting so bad. I felt like somebody sticking a knife right here in this hip area. And I just got up and I kept going. I was praying. I am fighting in my own body and I'm praying for people down there. You see, when you really believe it, you keep going. You don't shut down. You keep going. Everybody stand up. As I close and I say this with me, my faith brings me the victory.
I believe Christ won the battle.
I believe that he won the battle for me.
I believe that in Christ I am more than a conqueror.
I believe that in Christ I am triumphant all the time.
I believe through Christ I have attained the victory
over every situation of life.
I believe in the midst of trouble,
I can count it all joy,
because Christ
will bring me out to victory.
I believe a new season
of joy,
victory,
and triumph
is in for
me.
I believe now
is the time for me
to rise up
and live in my victory
in Christ.
Hallelujah. Now raise your hands and thank God for that.
That is the truth of the word.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now all of y'all know, I never like to preach a sermon that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Christ.
If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you're in here and you know what it is to serve God, but you're just not quite where you should be, you need to rededicate your life. Anybody anywhere, raise your hand. I want to pray with you and for you. Praise the Lord.
Anybody want prayer for healing tonight? If you do, come to the front right now, and we'll lay hands on you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God, thank God. Just stand right there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Reach your hands out as we pray for our brother. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. The healing power of God is flowing into this body. Thank you that whatever is the matter with this body is correcting right now. The healing power is flowing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. No, pastor's going to pray. Hello, buddy dog. It's your eyes, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these eyes and this leg to be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you. Everybody raise your hands and praise God. Somebody else want prayer right here? Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the healing power of God to flow in this body right now, driving out sickness and disease. In the Jesus' name, I call this person healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. Well, next Sunday night at 6 right here, come believing, come expecting. All right? Praise the Lord. Now, I think, what'd you say this is going to be happening? Go back and celebrate. Yes, the lady right there that came. Hallelujah. All right. See y'all next week.